this very special edition of Bread and Butter, where we are serving up the basics for Hearthstone improvement. Before we get to our special guests, we have a little, just an introduction to this episode.
It's time to do.
Welcome back, everybody. We're here to say goodbye to the mode of duels. And seeing as how I don't play duels very much, and Doc didn't play duels very much, he's not able to be here as well. He is celebrating Easter this week, a week late, with his family. But I figured I'd grab some of the people that I know that really have enjoyed the mode. So we brought on Chalker, who we've actually had on. He was one of the first people we had on. I think you were on episode...
Yeah, real early.
Oh, welcome back. And we bring out bring back one of our favorite guests, Dano. Dano, welcome back to the show.
Hey, it's me, Dan.
It is him. and we have a new guest in Thralamon. And Thralamon, welcome to the show.
Hey, what's going on? When Dan talks, I laugh. I don't know why. That's why we're
all do. We all do.
You're giggling in the middle of that little intro killed me, Joel. I was like, I could see you giggling quietly, and it was just not okay.
I don't know what it is about podcasting. So, it just makes me giggle.
There's nothing wrong with that. If you're not having fun, what are you even doing?
Exactly.
So, yeah. Thralamon, what have you been doing inside of Hearthstone lately?
Inside of Hearthstone. Okay, Battlegrounds, and a little bit of Arena. We picked up the DH deck in Standard last week or a couple weeks ago. Like, I hadn't played any of it. I came back to the cabin. I played 2 days and got my 11 times for the first time in a few months. Turns out the deck is busted. Meta's not super fun right now, I think, with it. It's like, it's pretty busted. It was fun. But you know what? I've been playing a lot of BGs. I think BGs are the best they've ever been. And I think there's some overlap between why I really like where BGs are right now and duels. So I think that's interesting. I think, like, the way you stumble your way forward through BGs right now with the addition of the spells, kind of there's, like, way more paths than it felt like there used to be in BGs. And I think that's when duels was at its best. That was like my favorite, when there wasn't just one path you're going for. So we're talking about stuff later, but that's what I've been doing. And a couple of arena runs with like my son and stuff. We've been really enjoying arena. I think arena is like, now that you like draft a legendary at the beginning and then like you can build your deck around it a bit. Like I think it's made arena a lot better, and the meta seems fun. Anyway, that's me.
How about yourself, Chalker? What have you been up to?
Nothing. I haven't opened up Hearthstone in 4 months.
I can't imagine why.
So, yeah.
Fair enough.
That's what.
And how about yourself, Dan? What have you been doing?
What have I been doing in Hearthstone, or like just like, yeah, Hearthstone?
In Hearthstone. We'll get to the other stuff in a minute.
Looking for the fun right now. I've been finding it little bits here and there. So talking with Nomad and some other people in the Squelch Discord, they've been great keeping me like grounded. If I'm being honest, I'll get on there, I'll log in at night and be playing, and then it just turns into me whining a little bit of Discord. But like Ephesus and Nomad and Matt and just, you know, everyone in that Discord is keeping me grounded. Having some fun with play 3-4 games of one deck, move on to another, then, you know, play 3-4 games of that, move on to another one. Kind of avoiding DH if I can, because I don't like mirrors of the best deck aren't my favorite thing in the world. So I typically avoid best deck unless I really like the deck, and this isn't my kind of deck. So I played it a bit at the end of the season and beginning of the season, and it was fine. It's a great deck. It's super fun. It's got lots of fun little gimmicks and smart plays, and you just, you know, 3-mana 6/5s are just good. You know, it doesn't need to be a fancy, just a 3-mana 6/5. So yeah, just kind of, you know, having a little fun, playing some silly decks, playing playing some mid-range priest, playing some aggro priest, playing some mid-range dragon druid, playing...
Are you killing people with extra turns, Dan?
I am killing people with extra turns. Yes. It's funny. If you have just like a medium-sized board, getting to do that twice is just good. Yeah. And like, it's one of those decks, the Dragon Priest is one of those decks where like, it makes you feel smart, even though it's just having an extra turn. It just makes everything easy. So like, you're like, oh, look, I found this other lethal. And really, it's like, I just get to play twice in a row and you don't get to play at all. Like a couple.
Can I make a Hearthstone confessional? Can I make a confessional, Dan?
Yeah, no, sure.
I played that deck on ladder. I was doing pretty good with it. And I didn't ever read the card that gives you the extra turn. It says only once per game.
Did you get a bunch of copies of it?
I copied it twice. And both times I copied it and played it again, my opponent conceded. So I thought it was doing it. I was like, oh, yeah. Like, extra turns. So I'm like, I won like three ways with it. Twice with extra turns, and then I did it one game, and it passed the turn. And I was
like, "You just quest."
There's a card that's like old school quest mage in standard now.
There is. Yeah. It's play five dragons. Well, it's a priest legendary. Play five dragons, and you get a second turn. But only once per game.
Once per game. No matter what.
So even if it duplicates, it won't trigger again.
Nope.
Okay. Nope. Got it.
But like you're running.
They've done that.
Yeah.
They've done that a couple times now. They've added that to the Hearthstone Homebrew, whatever his name is.
Hearth.
They've added to Hearth too, where he replaces your hand with a hand from the past, but it only does it once, so you can't just like bounce him. They basically said, we're not going to let rogue do rogue things on these cards, which is, you know, smart.
Yeah.
Or priest.
I mean, both of those cards would have been asked with priest, to be honest, with like the ways they can copy right now. I think
quite frankly, hearing these described, it makes sense why Duels was killed, because those would be abused to the end of time in Duels. Like having an extra turn, like is game over in turn three by game four or five. And so it's just a matter of which card you drew at that point in time. It makes a lot of sense. They wanted to put that fun stuff in standard.
Just that wonderful band on there.
Yeah, exactly. But it sucks then. That what ended up happening a lot is that like half of the cards in all the new sets ended up being banned. And so it didn't feel valuable as a Duels player to stay involved and continue purchasing the cards if I wasn't going to be able to use them in the way that I play. So
crafting cards for Duels.
Bring it back to Duels. But
I crafted it.
I crafted a bunch of cards for Duels. I crafted more for Duels than for Standard.
Yeah.
Do you want to hear something really interesting for me? Was like, I don't especially love golden cards, but I really like using golden cards in Duels and Arena. Don't ask me why. It's like, oh, I got it out of a bucket and it's golden.
I agree.
I know in Arena anyway that works. But in Duels, I always kept all my golden cards since Duels came out. I always dusted them before Duels. After Duels came out, I kept them. And for this set, I didn't get a pre-order. I didn't buy one because I dusted all my golden cards because Duels is going away.
There you go.
I'll just dust them all. All my old wild, and I got like 12,000 dust, and I'm like,
I'll tell you why. The reason is because it was the silly mode. It was the fun mode. So Atesh, the first main dev on the live mode, he always went out there and compared Duels to the monster truck rally of Hearthstone. It's the place where you could go and do like crazy wacky stuff, and it's super super fun to be driving that monster truck. The problem with Hearthstone is that the other side of that is you're getting run over by that monster truck real freaking hard, real freaking fast, and it is real fast if you don't know what's going on. I don't know. Am I stepping on the agenda here, Tito?
We've dived into the main topic, which we're gonna get to, and I know you're excited. I don't know. It's good. It's all good. That's good.
What have you been up to, Tito? Yeah.
Thank you. So for me, I've been playing. I'm playing Try Hard April for myself. So on stream, I'm trying to just play good decks. I'm not playing the janky Paladin decks that I like to play, and we're trying to get better. And we had one of those nights where last night I finished around D2. I had won like 11 out of 14 games, something like that. And I'm like, I'm just gonna wake up in the morning, I'm going to finish up my climb, and now I'm back at D5.
No problem. Nope. We'll get there tomorrow in four games. Yeah, never said that before.
I wasn't expecting four games, but I was expecting that I was playing well enough where it wouldn't take that long. And then, you know, I did the thing. So it's fine. And I did actually play really well last night after my THL match, which I lost three games in a row to Ron Mexico.
That'll happen too.
I mean, it sounds like you did pretty well too.
I made a couple small mistakes in the first games, and he drew all night. He drew amazingly, so it almost didn't matter. Game three, I threw the game really hard, and it kind of was sad because I should have won that game and pushed it to game four. But I've been playing, like I said, I've been playing good decks. I haven't really been playing Demon Hunter. I've actually been farming Demon Hunter with the Highlander Warrior, which has been a lot of fun. That's just bonkers fun. And I don't usually like Control Warrior, but it's just fun to like drop a Boom Boss and then ETC out a Gaslight Gatekeeper and just watch all this stuff go pop, 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 pop. And it's just a lot of fun. So it's also fun to, you know, what do you call it? The stupid guy 2/6 pull out a minion from their hand.
Dirty Rat, my best friend, Tito. Dirty Rat. Yes. Get him.
I love doing that to the Sifs. I love doing that to Sifs when they're we play this long 20-minute game and they're like, oh, you know, I got Sif in hand. I'm there. And I go, never mind.
The best part about Dirty Rat is it says on the text, one out of every five times you play it, your opponent explodes. That's right on the card. Just battle cry, one out of five times your opponent will blow up. Yeah.
And while I haven't been playing Paladin because it's not good right now, I am playing a little bit of Paladin that on like the Asia server with a deck I've been trying to make good. And I think it's getting there. It's a Paladin that's a buff Paladin, but it's a buff mech Paladin. So what you're doing is you're bringing out the X23 that's 1/3. You're playing Boogie Down, which you still have Mermies in there, and you have Righteous Protectors. You have the buff cards. You have Terum, and you also have like the prosthetic hands there that are, I think they're 3/4s, magnetize, give a minion reborn. So what happens is you can get those 1/3s out there or cool ghouls out there, and you get these hands that are buffed. So you get sticky minions on the board, and you play these hands. You also have the Ziliax that buffs itself every turn. So you get the stealth Ziliax there going, and then you just attach something onto them that, like, you know, gives them a bunch more buff stats, and you hit them in the face. And if you get the X23, if it dies, anything magnetized goes back to your hand. So what you do is you have the X23, you magnetize the hand to it. When it dies, that thing gets reborn because of the skeleton, the hand, and the hand goes back to your hand. So you have almost like this recursive thing that this guy can possibly stay alive forever. So
they don't keep their hand buff stats though, right? No, yeah. But that's still cool. That's still a lot of value.
And you're running the Muscle-O-Tron and the weapon and stuff like that. So I've had some really big minions out of nowhere, and it's a lot of fun. But anyway, Chalker, since you didn't do anything in Hearthstone, what have you been doing?
Yeah, I mean, life has been pretty busy as a dad to a 3.5-year-old. In a very remote location. So we are very self-sufficient and spend a lot of time on, you know, laundry and daily life activities. But outside of that, in gaming, I've been playing a lot of other roguelikes. I don't know if you all have given Balatro a try yet, or Balatro. I don't know exactly how it's spelled, but I highly recommend that. It is a deeply, deeply, deeply enjoying gameplay. The poker roguelike that's out there. I've also finally been catching up, giving myself a chance to catch up on Vampire Survivors, which is a deeply satisfying experience to a child of the 90s. So both of those, huge shout outs, and anyone who is willing to give Duels a little rest but hasn't given many roguelikes a shot, those are two that I'd endorse.
Sweet.
And I should mention that our guests have been gracious enough to be on the show. We were going to have it last week, but I forgot that it was Easter, and I booked it on Easter, and that was kind of silly of me because everyone's like, oh, yeah, by the way, I'm good for it next Sunday. Yes, that sounds awesome. Oh, it's Easter. Sorry. So
yeah,
that was my bad. That was poor planning on my part. But everyone's here tonight instead of watching the second night of WrestleMania. So I appreciate that.
I had that.
But Dana, what have you been doing outside of the game?
Outside of the game, I may or may not have downloaded like 50 Fallout 4 mods today to play some Fallout 4. A new save going there. I'll probably be playing another 300 hours of that over the next couple of months, just because I do that once a year. Other than video games, like sports ball today was a ton of fun. Like just a ton of fun sports ball games today. Like it started this morning with a Napoli game. It was just crazy game. So it's Serie A soccer. There's some 1-0 going on at the 57th minute. Napoli scores. Minute later, Napoli scores again. Minute later, Napoli scores again. Then Monza scores. It was like 4 goals in 5 minutes. It was absolutely bananas. In 3 minutes, Dean says. My bad, Dean. Yeah, it was actually 4 goals in 3 minutes.
And I then, love when they're old enough to correct you on everything you say that's wrong.
And then it was SKC and Timbers played this afternoon. Timbers, so SKC went up 3-0 in the first half. And then in the second half, Timbers came back, tied up 3-3. It was pretty crazy. And then watched the Iowa-South Carolina game and then finished up with a little bit of golf. Went into a little playoff there in golf. It was a pretty fun little day. So sports ball today. I don't know. I like sports.
All I can think of with soccer, I mean, I like soccer. It's fun. I might even coach it next year with my kid who's 10. So we'll see how that goes. But all I can think of is the Simpsons portrayal of it when everyone's all excited. It comes into town and they're like, center passes the ball to wing. Wing passes the ball to center. Holding. Holding. And everyone's like, I don't know. It's
all right.
But I'm wondering if they are going to get Caitlin Clark out to WrestleMania in time to make her, you know, somehow get involved in that, because that's what they try to do, right? Get the most popular sports figures and get them involved. They had the Kelseys out there. So can you imagine? She lost the game today. They fly her out, and then she, like, pulls some interference in the women's championship match.
I don't know if she's got the personality for that, but maybe. We'll see.
Hey, with the money they pay, everybody has a personality.
You're right. You're totally right. You're 100% right.
I watched wrestling in the early aughts, and if the Hardy Boys could be professional wrestlers, anyone could be a professional wrestler. So, like, just personality of a hammer. Like,
fair.
So, in Thorleman, what have you been up to outside of the game of Hearthstone?
Oh, man, a lot of work, you know? It's a lot of work, and ball hockey season started. Ball hockey is super fun. It's like the only real like organized sports that Nate plays. But the problem is ball hockey season exists between when the ice melts in the arenas and summer vacation starts. So you have like 2.5 months where the whole season happens and you sign up and they're like, yeah, the league's going to start in the next couple days. And then they're like, here's the schedule. Blah. And you're like, you're like, oh my gosh, it's a practice. Oh, we don't know what next week's games are yet. Oh, there's 4. Okay. Like, and they're all across town in different directions at different times. It's crazy. So we're busy and we're getting ready for playoff hockey. First year we're in the playoffs since the bubble during the pandemic, and oh man, super exciting as Vancouver Canucks fan. We're just gonna love it. So
yay, Canucks. Planning on
driving out to watch a lot of games with my dad because he's having a tough year. So it'll be fun. So we're gonna do our best to drive out as much as we can, watch some playoff games.
Fair enough. And I live in New England. We just had winter. We had spring coming. It was great. Everything was melting. I was getting ready to do some yard work, and then we got a snowstorm. So we're just waiting for third winter to actually end, and hopefully that'll happen soon. Outside for that, I'm just doing the normal stuff, nice. You know, bringing the kid to school and all that. And I started listening to a book called Rich Dad, Poor Dad, which is kind of interesting. It's kind of like a guy had apparently two father figures or two dads, and I haven't got that far yet, but it's about like their different points of view and how he was listening to both of them, and they both had like completely opposite ideas on how money is spent and how like one is like you work to make money, and the other is like you make money work for you. And it's interesting. I'm looking forward to just kind of seeing how that pans out, but trying to expand my mind a little bit, you know, learn a little bit outside of just listening to, you know, Squelch and Squelch After Dark and Blizzlet and Coin Conceit and all that. So that takes up most of my time. So
good for you, man. Yeah. I failed to mention, I'm also thinking about how amazing my friend Dan is.
Yeah. Thank you. I was going to mention that there was something in the show notes that you forgot to bring up. I was going to point that out, but I'm glad that you remembered that you put that there.
Mm-hmm. Well, we all think Dan is fantastic, but we also think Enthralamon is fantastic. So Normally what we do here in an episode is when we have a new guest on, like in Thralamon, we would spend, you know, a good half of the episode talking and interviewing him. But given that we have a panel here tonight, and we're going to be talking about our main topic, duels, we're just going to do a quick, short interview with Joel, because, I'm sorry, Joel is in Thralamon. I'm allowed to call you that, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
No okay. We're going to have him back on, so hopefully in the next few months, and actually do a real episode with him and get to know him. But for now, let's just do a quick, you know, a blitz interview with him. So, in Thralamon, what got you into card games and Hearthstone? How'd you get started?
Well, I was a nerd from the moment I found out about nerd stuff as a kid. So, like, I started playing Magic. I got into D&D when I was, like, grade 6. So, like, what, 11, 12? And, like, grade 7, Magic came out, and I had no money. And in grade 8, I had a little bit of money. That's when I started playing Magic. So I played Magic for, like, from when I was 13 to I was, like, 21, for, like, 8 years. Kitchen table, never competitive, just fun. With friends, and man, I sure missed it, but my friends all stopped playing. So when Hearthstone came out, I was sick home from work one day. I downloaded Hearthstone, and then I was hooked. And then I met some friends online, and Dan and Matt and Magooch and Nate, and it was like, man, you know what's more fun than playing card games by yourself? Playing with friends. I was hooked. Yeah.
Fair enough. I remember, so I'm a little older than you, not much, but a little older than you. And I played Magic when it first
came
out.
I'm always the oldest. Yes, that's not true. I think Matt's a little older.
Matt is definitely older than you, and I'm older than you as well.
Are you?
I think so. How old are you?
I'm 43.
We're the same age, but like, what was
turning 43 June?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm younger than you.
I'm the youngest. Take that. I'm sure. That's exciting.
Yeah.
Yeah. And apparently, right now, Thralamon is the answer to life, the universe, and everything. But
I am.
I used to play
for a very short period of time. To
so I played Magic when it first came out. And I mean, I accidentally sold an alpha deck for $150 back in the day thinking, oh, this is awesome. That's probably worth thousands now. Yeah. But I was like,
I sold college, my collection. Like, you know what, Tito? I sold my collection in 2008 for 2009 for like $150. It was probably worth $300. And now it would be worth tens of thousands of dollars. It's like crazy. Yeah.
And I used to play when you would sit down at a table and somebody would be like, Black Lotus, Lightning Bolt, fork, you're dead. I'm like, okay, that was fun. But then I did the same thing.
Experience.
Those were all like cards that were banned. Exactly. And I started playing, I went back probably around, I don't even know what year, maybe 2007, 2008. I'm like, hey, let's do some Friday Night Magic. And it was just weird because like, I'm so much older than like everybody at my local shop. And it was just like, weird, like, you know, like, hey, that was fun. Hey, my mom's here to pick me up. I'm like, okay, have fun.
I remember going to do my first like draft in store after getting back into playing, because I didn't have draft when I stopped playing it, like 2001, or maybe it was his very beginning and I hadn't started playing it. And I'm in the LGS and I had a question about draft to my opponent, because I'm like, just want to check in with like the social etiquette of it, because I've been playing with friends at home but not like in the store. So I asked him a question about draft, and then we started playing, and the guy gave me like a super beginner comment about like, and the store owner was so good, because I like start smiling and the store owner is like, hey, Colin, Joel's been playing since before you were born. I was like, oh, that was cute.
I remember I was at like I went to a couple tournaments too during that brief time that I came back and went to like live action, and I was like, whatever. And I remember I'm sitting across, I'm playing a kid, and he is just munching on Starburst and drinking Monster Cola. And I was like, you know, you might want to slow that down a little bit. Just some little life advice. Like, this is not going to be good for you long term.
Don't you feel like I give this advice? I'm a teacher, man. I teach high school students. I give this advice every day. I feel like such an old man, though. Like, man, there was nothing better than when you're a kid of like sugar and gaming and Subway sandwiches or something, you know? Yeah.
But how did you find yourself doing a podcast about Hearthstone?
Oh, Dan. Dan wrote me into it 100%. He was like, let's do a podcast. I'm like, no. He's like, let's do a podcast. I'm like, no. I'm like, I quit Hearthstone. Then he started a podcast. I was listening. I was like, oh, he's making Hearthstone sound really fun. Then I started playing Hearthstone, and then I went on his podcast, and that was a mistake. And I ended up staying for like 130 something episodes in a row or something. You know? Yeah. No, good friends. Good friends. Mm-hmm. That's the answer. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, to be fair, Dan makes having brain surgery sound interesting and fun. So
sometimes
scary it happened,
especially for you because I made you run the Dill's Hearthstone League.
Oh, that was fine. That didn't bother me.
Brain surgery addled mine.
Dan and I were like back and forth all day at that time, chatting with each other, and it just was like radio silence for 3 days. I was definitely worried. Yeah, it was scary. That was fun.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm
glad you're okay, Dan. I'm glad you're alive, Dan.
Same.
So Chalker's looking confused. Dan had brain surgery a while ago. And
7 years ago.
Then he told the joke about it 6 months later.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm glad you're doing well.
I am. Yep.
Okay.
So final question for Joel, and this is a little inside baseball. What's it like being a rover on Mars?
Oh, it was fantastic. You know, they put me up there, you know, selected because of my great Hearthstone mind. And just like, you know, I drove around, chewed on rocks a little bit, tasted some things here. Unfortunately, on this trip, we did not find signs of proof of life. But Brian Kibler was also a rover on Mars. So we hung out a little bit before I came back and had a good time.
That's an old joke.
And when he came back, he got that hair.
It's a very old joke.
Well, that tells you how long I've been listening to Squelch.
I appreciate you, man. That's amazing. Yeah. So the joke there, Chalker, is like whenever I would talk about how the amazing things I'd do on Ladder, I'd then be like, I am the Mars rover. When I realized I'm humble bragging, I would be like, oh, I'm the Mars rover.
Got it. Okay. I thought you were doing some sort of like LARPing thing. Like I know Kibler does go do that. And I was like, maybe there's some sort of like Mars rover camping experience and the Kibler's in it. What the fuck? I'm sorry for the
oh, that's weird.
So yeah, thank you for the explanation.
Hanging out with Brian Kibler is the dream, you know. Oh, so God. It's like there, that's kind of the part of it.
Sure. And then he's got beautiful hair. I just want his hair.
He does.
I mean, as you can see, I'd like anybody's hair. I'd almost take. Actually, everyone here is almost bald except for Enthralamon here.
Joel's got great
losing
hair.
It, but I still. I'm pretty, give me a break. Like, I got a big mohawk right now. It's pretty sick, and the length on the back, it's pretty. But I am. I also had head surgery though, and my head surgery scar is my hairline is caught up to it.
And to be fair, I don't know if Chalker's going bald or not. He just likes to keep it short.
No, I just don't. I literally don't have any hair. You cannot beat my level of baldness. I have alopecia universalis. I do not have a single hair anywhere on my entire
body. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So, I mean, people who have met me in person, that is the first thing you recognize about me. I literally have no hair. So.
Wow.
Maybe it's not rad. Maybe it's terrible. Why did I say that? I don't know why I'm making a judgment about it.
I've accepted it.
But it's super interesting. I don't know.
It's my person. It's my being. It's part of my body. And that's what makes me me, you know, and that's what makes you all you, I guess.
Joel, you're just talking like someone that's had to unclog a shower drain. That's all.
Yeah. Yeah. I have more than once.
All right,
my
so
family has very thick hair. Well, let's not talk about that.
I was going to say, do we need to go down this rabbit hole? I don't think we need
my
to do
son,
that.
My son, you can't comb it. It's so thick. It's insane. It's like, this did not come from my side of the family.
What are we doing?
It might be worth
we're
exploring.
Still talking about it.
Well, I mean, most people don't know that Joel's last name is Sasquatch, but it's fine. So we'll get back to have an actual real interview with Joel, like we said. But before we go on to our main topic of duels, Duos is coming out. And I added this to the show notes about 20 seconds ago. Duos is coming out in about a week. What are your thoughts on Duos? Let's start with Dan. Dan, what do you think about Duos? Duos is the battleground mode where you get to play with somebody else. You get to share minions and you play together and your two boards are like working together and then... your life total is combined and everything like that. So it's just kind of like a co-op duels. So what do you think about that?
I think 5 years ago, Joel and I would have played an absolute bananas amount of blues. Like,
we would have been up till 1 a.m. every night, ruining our day lives. Yeah,
really wouldn't have been okay how much we would have played, because it really was.
We would have been eating Monster energy drinks and Starburst, and Tito would be telling us to take care of ourselves.
But honestly, now I'm in bed about the same time that Joel is eating dinner, so it's like time zones are kind of like doing it. I like the idea. I am cheering for its success. I'm probably not going to play it. I'm super casual with BGs. Like, getting to 4K is a big deal for me, and I'm never going to ever queue into a random BG, like a duo BGs, because I don't want to put someone else through that or deal with like someone getting mad at my bad plays. And like, it's hard co-oping with, you know, life and everything. So probably not going to play a lot, but I am cheering for its success. I feel like there have been a lot of, you know, they've been swinging for the fences with some of the modes lately, and they haven't been hitting really. So I'm hoping this one is a success. And I know that BGs is super popular, so I'm hopeful that it will be. So,
yeah, I had a chance to play it once at BlizzCon and had the opportunity of being matched up with someone that is in your position. And I played with, I think it was a Diablo dev who had literally never played Battlegrounds ever before. So you spent the entire time just explaining to them where to drag things and what to do. And it wasn't fun, quite frankly, for me. And I can imagine being matched up.
I love that you're just upfront about it. It sucks. Playing with that guy was the worst.
So you would have to have a partner is what I'm trying to say. Like, you really do need to have the being able to speak to the person that's next to you and have a common language is 100% vital for this. And that makes it a young man's game, meaning none of the four of us.
For sure. Except for me, my son doesn't like playing BGs with me because I'm too high. My MMR is not even that high. But like, this is the perfect opportunity to learn together.
So much fun. You guys are going to have a ton of fun with that.
He's turning 13 in a couple weeks. Like, he's the right age for this. And we are going to jam. So even if it's not that great, we're going to jam so much of it. I can see it coming.
I'm jealous of you. I'm jealous. Have a good time with that. That'll be fun.
I don't know what I did to get a son who likes Dungeons & Dragons, Magic the Gathering, Hearthstone, hockey, likes everything I like.
Nice.
I don't know. I don't know what I did. But it's the best. I have like this little guy up here who will do anything I want. I'm just like, let's do this. He's like, yeah, let's do it. It's like,
nice. That's cool.
Well, because you are like me, like Dan, like other people, you're a man child that's pretending to be a father.
100%. So it's just like, I am not an adult.
You're a friend that plays all these cool things. It's like, I want to do that too. It's not like you're like, I'm doing taxes right now. You're like, I'm playing video games.
I gotta do my taxes.
We are a new generation playing video games. You got a few days left there, Dan. But you know what I mean? It's like we are so different. We grew up playing video games. Our parents didn't. So like our parents, like we were a separate divide. We've grown up on this stuff. So our kids, like I play Minecraft with my kids. You know, and it's not like a chore. It's not like oh, this is my way to try to bond. It is a way to bond, but it's also like I'm having fun.
And when I was growing up and we finally were allowed video games in our house because it was the 90s, my parents would try playing with me and it was just like Chalker playing with the Diablo devs. Like it was 100% like my dad's like, why isn't this very specific rule in the NHL game not happening? I'm like NHL 94. And I'm like, Dad, I don't, he's like,
And as far as me, I don't know how successful Duels is going to be. It feels like a weird mode when they're trying to, like, they've been trying to monetize, like, they came out with Mercenaries, which was the entire point was, hey, we dropped Battlegrounds and we didn't monetize it well. So let's try a game that's focused on monetization, and that failed. And now Duos feels like something that is a fun mode that's going to be great for streamer interaction. It's going to be like, hey, it's community day. Let's do things and we can break up the teams and do that.
Yeah.
But it doesn't feel like a mode that you're going to want to solo queue. And like Dan says, it is hard to like coordinate with people a lot. So I think it's going to be something fun. I don't think it's going to be very popular. Like at long term, it's going to be like maybe good for a couple weeks. And then,
but you know what it'll be good at?
What?
It'll be good at bringing new players to the game, which is probably why they're really excited about it. Yeah.
They'll be enthusiasts for sure. There'll be instances in which it's fun and used. Playing as Cho'Gall, we got Cho'Gall. I could see that being incredibly fun to do. If
Okay, sure. So does Cho'Gall, like, do you both get the triple reward, or do you also get the golden? Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, cool. You both get the triple reward, not the golden.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, cool. My son was telling me about it today, and I was asking. He's like, I don't know.
Yeah, that'll be cool. First time you do it. It's cool. It's a totally different way of doing Hearthstone.
But solo queuing is going to be a lot like, you ever do the two-person duels and have some random person on the other side? That's just like a nightmare.
The, not the duels.
Oh, the tavern,
no, sorry,
brawl.
Tavern brawl. Yeah, tavern brawl. Yeah, tavern brawl.
Oh my gosh. I get so
mad. Like, what are you doing? We're on the same team.
Yeah. Exactly.
Why are you so mad at this game?
That is exactly.
And then, like, and then your fifth game, you realize you're the bad one. Yeah.
You've been peeking over my shoulder? Is that what's been going on?
And you're like, oh, I didn't read the instructions for the tavern brawl. It's me who's the problem.
Trust Magooch to read it for me. I just ask him what's going on this week. What deck am I playing, Magooch? Great, thank you.
Magooch loves tavern.
He loves tavern
brawl. The tavern brawl this week was a lot of fun, honestly. Like, I think it's a new one, or maybe it's not a new one, but it's like you had 10 cards. And you had to play it on the left or the right of the minion, and you either had rush or you had taunt.
Yep.
And oh, so,
I played a lot of like buff Demon Hunter, or it's great to, I mean, buff DK and whatever. It was just a lot of fun to, like, you know, drop things out there, run them in, death rattle, buff your stuff, drum something else. So it was a lot of fun. It's definitely good for completing quests. But one thing I've meant to mention before we move on to our main topic, when we were doing the interview with Enthralamon here, is the real kind of funny thing with Enthralamon is that he's very, very good at the game, and he also takes a lot of breaks. So he comes back and he's like, hey, it's been 6 months. I picked up this deck that I kind of threw together, and now I'm 11 stars again.
No, he was gone for way longer than six months. And then was like, oh, hey, it was like he came in when he first came back to the game after we had started Squelch. Enthralamon's like, okay, what's good right now? I think we gave him like some tier two deck that he could craft or something like that. You remember what this deck was, Joel? That you came
was
back
this
to?
Like after my big break when
after
I first
your
came
big
on
break
Squelch?
When we first came back to
it was Squelch. It was before the buffs to Quest Shaman or whatever. It was Quest Shaman in the Heroes of what was it called? Heroes of Eldum. It was the Quest Shaman, the battle
Saviors of Eldum.
Saviors of Eldum. Thanks, Joker.
Was playing literally, what was it, 7-8 days, and it was like top, what was it? Were you top 100 legend, top 500 legend?
I was 1500.
My bad. You were gone for years and come back and just top 1500 legend. Yeah, it was cool.
At first, I didn't tell anyone I was climbing legend ladder because I was up at the cabin playing on my phone at night. And Hat was just pouring over all the data, the back end data of like who was where. And he's like, oh, hey, I see you're playing again. Like, I got a DM from Hat. I was like, oh, that made me feel. Well, I appreciate you saying so. But honestly, my superpower in gaming is I'm okay. But I have a raging gaming addiction, and I play way too many games, and that's why I do well.
Yeah, you got to focus. You think about it in the exact opposite way from me. I have hit legend one time in my entire Hearthstone career. I just don't like the grind. I can't do the same deck over and over and over again for hours. And I don't know if this is a good transition into the things. I can see this is the answer to as I'm saying it, this is the answer to the first question that you got coming up here. So I didn't mean to cut you off, but I was thinking you and I are like the same, but we're opposite kind of here. It's fun. I like it.
And I'm the opposite because I can play 1,000 games with the same deck. And
I can't do that.
Me too.
Perfectly happy.
Yeah. I could do three.
We were at the cabin for a week, and I stayed with a couple days with my brother's family, and they all love puzzles. And I can't sit down at the puzzle because if I start, I will be frustrated until it's done.
Oh.
And then I can get up. Like, I'm that person. I like my family's like, Joel's really good at Sudoku. And I'm like, no, I just don't give up. Yeah. I'm like, no, I got to finish it. Like, and I'm miserable. I'm like, that's me on ladder. And then they're like, you're amazing. And I'm like, it's not a positive relationship.
I'm just waiting for you to take another. I'm waiting for you to take another break and then come back and start playing before you tell us and be like, hey, I get this email saying I got master's toy points. What does that mean?
No, I'm not that good. You need to not have kids to do that.
Yeah, that's exactly 100%.
Yeah.
Okay, so our main topic here is duels. So duels has been, as we've talked about before, end of life. It's coming up. They haven't announced the actual date yet, but I'm pretty sure it's going to be on the 16th when they drop the content patch for BGs. Like, that makes sense. It's the .2 patch. They've said it's going to be sometime in April. So I think that's when it's going to happen. So we're not going to focus on too much of the negative. We're going to focus on remembering duels and how it was a good thing. Now, I didn't play a lot of duels, which is why I brought three different people to make sure we could talk about duels and get some good experience here. So I'm going to start with you, Chalker. What is it about duels that made it something you wanted to play and make a podcast about even for you?
Yes. Yeah. So that's what I was sort of starting to get at just a minute ago here. So I hate the grind. I hate the ladder experience. I hate playing the same deck over and over again. And so the thing with duels is it was like an ever evolving experience, right? It was the sensation of getting more powerful and finding those synergies. You go on a quest and you go and open up treasure chests and you're constantly making, the best of three non-optimal choices, and trying to think and evaluate like what is working and isn't working. As a sort of a side note, I'm a very personally self-aware person. I meditate for an hour a day. I look inward a lot. And so I think that's something you do in duels too, is you would look inward at your deck and think, okay, these things will improve me or they won't improve me. And this isn't really a complaint, but one of the things that always lacked in duels is the ability to cut things out. You never were able to remove cards from your deck. And I think that would have been a really nice thing, but it just wouldn't work within the system. But yeah, I've always liked roguelikes. I loved Hades. Like I said earlier, I like Balatro. I like Vampire Survivors. I like Binding of Isaac. All of those sorts of games, 20XX, all of those really, really appealed to me. And that's what made me want to start playing duels. I played, you know, I've been playing since like 2014, 2015. I don't remember which was my first one was Whispers of the Old Gods. That was my first set for Hearthstone. I had played for a long time, but I never
fun
really
set.
It was a fun set. Yeah, my first great first golden legendary was Yasuraj.
That's a good one.
Delicious. That is delicious. But I always liked that wacky stuff. I always liked the tavern brawls. I always liked Wild. YouTubers like, oh gosh, what was the one person's name that always did the crazy combos that, early on? It'll come to me.
Marky Mark?
No. I'll think about it. Anyways.
Monkey? Yeah. The crazy.
Yeah, there was two or three of them that were doing just combos. And I always enjoyed that. And that's the sort of thing that was possible in duels, right? It was that monster truck rally where you could start doing combos and everything. So yeah, that's what made me want to do it. That's what I mean. I played a lot of duels, like Regis also. You know, he's the funner part of Hearthstone rather than the less competitive. I also always enjoyed like the solo content. That was almost always my
me too.
Part.
So,
well, that inspired that, it. That inspired. Like that. Exactly. He took the solo content and made it the mode.
Yeah, the dungeon runs. Yeah, and that turned right into duels. That was the back end. That's my answer to your question.
And maybe that was the problem with duels is that it was the monster truck rally because then you could only play it on Sunday.
Yeah.
Joel, what about you? What did you think about, what was the question? It was, what is about duels that made you want to play?
Well, like, I love limited. I think limited, I love making, like, suboptimal choices. And I think that's what I love about card games in general, is, like, I really like being on turn four and having a perfect four drop to play, and then sitting and thinking for a minute and realizing that playing these suboptimal cards that mess up my opponent's turn, like suboptimal for me, but are actually optimal in this situation because it, you know, and then you're like, oh, the really obvious four drop is bad compared to this. Like those are kind of constructed problems to solve, but in like limited, you're like, none of these are good. Like these are all bad. Like, what do I do here? And there's this feeling of fumbling forward. Like you're never moving back. You're never, it's just like, you're constantly fumbling forward in draft or in arena. But in arena, you're like draft, you're doing that and you build your deck and then you go play a bunch of games. And duels, like you were saying, Chalker, it's like this idea that you actually start with an arena deck. You start with like well, it's constructed really and not even Arena, but you start with a pretty synergistic group of cards, and then you're like adding a bunch of garbage to it and then some super powerful cards as well. So you're like, this whole like fumbling forward through the whole run was, it's super interesting. It's something that doesn't exist in anywhere else in Hearthstone.
Don't really. Steal Maybe my BG's content and my answer
a little bit. I'm sorry.
Don't worry. I forgive you.
Go ahead. Keep going.
It was original. It was so like Hearthstone, what Hearthstone has done well is it's distilled the fun thing of something else to its basic funness, right? So like Hearthstone original distilled Magic down into something that was simple and fun. BG's distilled auto battlers down to something that is simple and fun. Duels was something completely original. It was a constructed card game that then transitioned into like a draft format, a limited draft format. Super fun, super interesting, and something different every time. It was the most original Hearthstone content they have. The Team 5 has never done anything like it before or since. It was the most original Hearthstone like game mode, period. It was awesome. Yeah. It was amazing. It was super clever. It was super fun. It was this crazy combination of like weak and powerful, and knowing when to go. Like sometimes you get three bad buckets. It was like, okay, the worst bucket is the best bucket because I can play these one and two drops, and I am never playing these 5, 6, and 7 drops. Even though these are better cards, I can fit these terrible cards into a curve, and these other cards are going to rot in my hand, and I'm going to lose. Right?
Real talk. Did anyone here ever pick the bucket with three of the darkness? I never actually did.
No.
Did you?
Yeah, well, it made sense. It made sense because you could play a darkness and now you play another darkness and you get like six of the torches in your deck. So you're just doubling your chances. I mean, I always took the crap that I like three Ragnaroses. Yes, please. Let's do it.
I love it.
Good. But it was fun. The bucket was called Why Not? And it had a couple of different options in it. It had,
but the other ones you could be like, okay, I'm short on big drops, but the darkness.
No, yeah, there was others that were like three snow flipper penguins or whatever. And it's like, okay, well, no one's going to do that. And we actually asked Atesh, the first live dev. We had him on our podcast relatively early on, and we asked him specifically about that. And that was an inclusion from the old game director who just said, let's make it fun. Let's throw a couple of these in. I want to add a couple of these buckets. And he hand wrote it down. It was the guy before Dean. What was his name? God, it's been such a long
time. I don't remember.
I don't remember. Anyways,
I can't remember.
That was just a pure fun, no strategy involved inclusion. I don't know. I would love to dive through the duels data and see if anyone ever actually won a game based off of those darknesses.
I did. Or I had Tifa. Not the darkness.
Did you?
No, yeah. Into the darkness. Yeah. I did have a pretty decent run. I had a decent run with the Hunter Legendary. That your next one, the next minion you play is an eight. Next three minions you play are 8/8 or something like that. That one actually salvaged a run for me. I ended up with a pretty decent 9/10 win run just because I was able to take garbage and just like play stats. And I was like, okay, cool. Here are some stats.
It wasn't
a great run, but it didn't end with 12 or anything. But I was able to like salvage, you know, something from below average to slightly above average, which was always fun in duels. Was making that 10 wins. If you got, you know, I was always like, all right, we did it. Because anything past that, like if you get to 12, it was like cool. But you need to take some breaks. You need to get, you know, the right spot in the meta. I always figured 10 was a victory, and everything past that was gravy. So,
yeah.
Go ahead, Charger.
I was gonna say that's the thing. It was rock paper scissors, just like Hearthstone, but even more so. I don't know if we were gonna start talking about balance
rock,
and stuff
paper,
like that.
Scissors. Teleporter, laser gun, monster truck.
Sometimes it was just run to Druid and then they just did Druid and you're like, oh well, Druid.
Yeah. There were just some matchups that were straight up unwinnable, right? Like just based upon some treasures, like they were unplayable games occasionally, which is never an actual fun experience to be on.
But in Limited that happens too, right? Like that's part of Limited. Like someone's gonna open something crazy and you're kind of hooped.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Like that's one of the funds of Limited.
Totally.
Which is like, well, I mean, this is something I have written down. You know what? We'll save it.
It's like when they say, "Oh, hey, I drew Jace the Mind Weaver. You're all screwed." Couple quick admin things before we move on to the next question. I believe you're talking about Ben Lee.
Ben Lee, yes, I am.
And Joel, you said you like to make suboptimal choices, which explains why you do Hearthstone podcasts.
Yikes.
Yes.
Burns all around.
The answer is yes, I have put hundreds of hours into Hearthstone podcasts. Yes. Yeah. All of us are guilty of suboptimal choices.
Yes. So, so
do they cover that in Rich Dad, Poor Dad? No.
Not yet, but I just started. So the biggest issue with duels always seemed to be the barrier to entry, right? And that was kind of like, not only was there a barrier to entry, they made the barrier that much more difficult right off the bat by having things locked behind certain number of games or whatever like that. So you couldn't even start doing all the options. So, but since they started, they made several adjustments. Eventually they realized, hey, this is not a good idea. And they opened up all the treasures and they opened up all the starting hero powers and stuff like that.
That took like a year.
And what a, like, this is just how games do it, so we're gonna do it this way. Like what a weird.
It was probably an experiment. It probably was like a, hey, let's try to have something for the 0.1% people in Hearthstone to, you know, be completionists and that really want to dive their time into a different place. I understand where the thought of it went came from, but it blocked a huge percentage of the user base from the get go, and so we just couldn't get, you know, people interested. It was an unfortunate choice. But that's
And I think you're wrong though. I think, in my opinion, I think you're wrong. It wasn't a decision to do things like other games. It was somebody in marketing saying, hey, we should make it so people have to buy stuff in order to play more. And people will do that because this is a cool mode.
Yeah, possibly, yeah.
And it wasn't always buying stuff though. It was time though, which was also the hard part. So that was the part that, because I didn't start playing, I was a duels convert. I was not an original duels like fan. It took Joel like time and effort to get me interested in duels.
I was totally the guy with the sign and robes on the hill, like, this is fun.
Yeah.
This is fun.
Yeah. And like, so like I was not initially on board, and like, and the barrier to entry was high. It was time. It was earning all those things, and like, and it made it even more difficult because if you didn't have all the things, then you couldn't do the meta decks, which means you had to be able to create your own. And duels was not friendly to homebrews. Like you said, you had to go to Hearthstone top decks. You had to go and grab their lists, and then you played. It was super easy once you did it, because I mean, that's what we all do in Hearthstone, right? We all steal decks. Who's homebrewing? Let's be honest. I'm sure there people are, but most people like just go to HS Replay, they go to Vicious Syndicate, they go to wherever, they grab their deck list. And it was the same thing with duels. You went and you grabbed your deck list, you grabbed your code, you plugged it in, you play the decks.
And on Squelch, we've harped on that for years, because it's been like, everyone, when you're like, hey, let's play duels, and they're like, then I have to go find a deck list. And they're like, you're playing standard. Like, everything you play is a deck list. Like, what are you talking? Oh, but I have to go to a duel site. It's like,
it's just another site. It's easy.
And you hear it over and over. Like, we can't play because we don't have deck lists in game. And you're like, what? Like, you play wild and standard. That's all you do.
Yeah. And the difficulty is, in order to make you feel, so that was just to start. That was, you know, game one. That wasn't even, you know, where you're going and which bucket to pick and which treasure to choose and everything. And the real challenge started arising about, you know, a year on in. There was a Chinese site. It got shared around the duels Twitter feeds. There was a Chinese spreadsheet where they figured out the percentage chances of how to game the system and how to get the right treasures and like how to you know, pop off, how to include this card or that card and what triggered you to get the passives that were the most powerful.
Yeah.
And so what ended up happening is it was a cat and mouse game where there'd be a balance change and there'd be like 2 weeks where it was so fun. You could throw spaghetti at the wall and go do whatever you wanted. But then eventually someone honed in on what the most optimal deck that triggered the most powerful passive treasure at tier two would be. And they'd go post it on one of these enthusiast threads. And then that's what everyone started running as hard as possible. It was an even harder meta than elsewhere.
Well, it.
Yeah. And that level of expertise and that level of information really appeals to a certain enthusiast, right? There are people who really get involved in like collecting classic model trains, right? And there are people who get really involved in like diving into like, Google translates of Chinese web forums of Hearthstone things for guys who spent like 4,000 hours diving into every stat of this whole thing, right? Like it's a thing out there, but it's not for everybody. I'll tell you that for sure. No. And at the end of the day, this is a business, right? Like, and so they needed to invest so much time to correct these balance issues, but it became faster for us because you could make money basically off of duels, right? You could sit there and grind 12 in runs and grind gold and grind packs, right?
Oh my gosh, I've never been so rich in game currency than when
that's where I got all my stuff from.
It's like exactly, duels runs.
And so it became a race. It became a race between who could nerf hammer it fastest while still keeping it fun and balanced and everything versus who could figure out how to exploit the system. And so what you were saying at some point, there was two versions of duels, right? There was the locked version and then they changed the buckets altogether. And the reason they changed the buckets was to prevent this. It was specifically so that algorithm, so that they would focus you more on the like deck building and focused on like, because you would make way less optimal choices. Like you being forced to be tied to one expansion, like, totally destroyed the possibility of just throwing all death rattles in or something like that, right? Because you would start getting other options from said set.
Well, that was like the third change, right?
Yeah, that was sort of the final. Like, that was the final major.
I really liked the first way it was because the buckets felt so random, but I didn't realize it was quite so gamed. Like,
I think it was gamed to the tippy top, right?
But, like,
I don't think it was gamed where I lived. Which
no
but back then it felt like even if you did all the algorithm stuff, though, tell me if I'm wrong, like you still weren't guaranteed the bucket, and then it felt disappointing that you didn't get
that's
it.
That's exactly right. It was like a three quarters chance. They figured out the exact percentages. It was wild.
But I remember at first like it felt really good, and it was like my favorite thing there though was it felt like a limited draft where like in order to get 12 wins you had to play good, but you also had to get lucky.
Yeah.
You had to know the game, you had to play good, and you had to get lucky. And then when they fixed the buckets the first time, it felt like you just kind of had to just build your deck the right
direction. Then you always got lucky.
Then like 70, 80% of the time you got offered the passives you wanted. And that's where I got off a little bit. I was like, I'm not picking bad decisions anymore. Everyone just seems pretty good.
It just kind of makes me think of like, WoW. It kind of makes me think of like Warcraft, where it's like they spend every time they have a new expansion, they spend all this time making like these new talent trees with all these different options. It's like, why bother? In like a month, someone's going to figure out the optimal choice.
But that's the game, right?
This is what you do when you play Shadow Priest. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and that's how kind of like competitive 1v1 formats will always be.
Yeah.
Right. Like, and it
just depends on what the player base is, right? So what you were saying a minute ago there, Dan, like not at your level, I don't know about that. Like I was seeing people at like 9,000 MMR being matched up with people at 3,000 MMR, right? It just wasn't a big enough player base. And so what would be happening is these newbies would come in, they'd play their first or second game match of duels ever, and they'd go up against streamers, or they'd go up against decks that are highly refined and just it wasn't an easy way to recruit people. And as compared to Battlegrounds duos, where you could sit there with your buddy and explain to them the rules and how to do the whole thing, that's not happening in duels, right? That never was a activity.
I don't know. My phone buzzed a lot from Dan.
I would ping Joel all the time. It would screenshot the bucket, and I would sit there for about a minute waiting for him. I'd be like, okay, is he going to be able to get to this?
I'd never get back in time.
And then I'd be like, okay, right? I'll just make what I think is the call. I will tell him what I did and then let him tell me why I was wrong later.
So what would happen is he would send me the question, which bucket do I take? And I get it like 5 or 8 or 12 or an hour later, whatever.
Yeah.
And I would text back and say, well, seems like this one, but I think it's actually this one because blah, 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 blah. And then I get one or two answers. I'd either get, I'm so smart, I totally did that. Or I'd get, oh, I'm such a dummy. You're right.
I figured you would just get a text back. You would text them saying, just don't pick this bucket. Well, you know.
But I'm not always right either. Like sometimes I laugh because I'll be like, oh, probably this one. Dan, like, I'm such a dummy. He might be right. I don't know.
Sometimes it worked out. As long as you knew what you were trying to do with it, though, right? If you had a plan for like the bucket, and sometimes like you would take the wrong one, but it would be the right one because you kind of knew what you were trying to do with it and it would work out. Because we would co-op duels from time to time as well. And like you would have different ideas of what you were trying to accomplish with where your deck was taking you.
Another interesting thing, while we're talking about buckets a little bit and like the optimal choice, I don't know if this is like a limitation or whatever, but little factoid, 99.99999% of the time, no more please was the right correct.
Almost
every single decision, yes. Do not add extra stuff to the deck.
Fewer cards are better. Yep.
Fewer cards are better. And that's where like I really wish there was a option for like removing cards from your deck. Oh my God, that would have been
cool.
That would have been really cool. So
yeah, it would have been spicy.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I think one of the things I was going to mention a minute ago, I don't know if this answers the question later or not. I don't think it does. Is like there's this beautiful balance in duels that doesn't exist in any other format where like a lot of the decks that are really good for the first three games depended really heavily on card synergies in their deck, and the buckets would ruin them no matter what. Right. Like the buckets would ruin them no matter what. And then the decks that would like get you 12 wins, like you might struggle to get through those first three games, but they weren't especially hurt by your buckets as much. And there's this beautiful balance there of like you didn't just have tier one and tier two decks. You had some decks that were better in the early game and some that were great in the late game if you could just get through those four or five games to start.
100%.
And like I love that play. And yeah, if you had those combo decks, like if you're playing Ping Mage and you had like a bucket with the card that improves your hero power and Mordresh, and you're like, and your whole deck looks like garbage because like you're like, that's the kind of deck where you're like, yeah, I'm not taking no more. We need like
stuff to ping push.
Synergies, right? Yeah. That stuff was super fun.
It was fun. Yeah, absolutely. Finding those cute little synergies, man, there was something I was in the middle of that. I'll come back to it. I'm sorry. I got distracted. Dan had to go.
Dan had to step away. So maybe Joel will laugh a little bit less. I don't know. We'll see and find out.
two things that I was going to say.
I'll do my best. I'll try to keep laughing, but Dan's face just makes me laugh. So I don't know.
So as the decks grew, and since you had to choose buckets, almost always Highlander strategies really fell off. And that was sort of a problem with the last two or three expansions right there. Cause that was such a big deal in them. And then the second thing is you're absolutely right. You know, aggro is a totally valid strategy when you got like 15, 20 health. But it's not going to work when you're all at 40 plus health and you can reheal from, you know, zero or from 1 to 40 every single turn, which is totally possible.
12
duels, right? And so
totally 12 wins with aggro strategies was always like the hardest.
Yeah. But at the same time, like combos or like crazy control things very rarely worked. Mills almost never worked because the decks always got too big up to your 40, 50 decks. So it really had to be some sort
of combo. You just couldn't find your pieces because you had 40 cards in your deck.
Exactly. So it ended up being like a real mid-range control sort of interesting thing where people would end up to get to that 12 win rank really have to rely on one of like three decks maybe. That was it. But it was so fun in the middle.
I think it depends on the meta though, because I got 12 wins with a fair number of decks that weren't tier one and
sure.
And but mind you, I also like the grind.
There you go.
I like playing bad decks and figuring them out, right? That's like but it definitely took a lot of runs, I remember that I banged my head against the wall when Paladin was so bad. And I finally got 12 wins with Paladin. And then like a month later, they were like, hey, we're going to have achievements to unlock. And I was like, are you kidding me? Like, I finally got my 12 wins because Paladin was the worst class for forever.
It was.
I got my 12 wins and I was like, I did it. And then they're like, we're going to hand out achievements. You don't get any of the ones that you already did. And I was like, no.
Paladin was always hard to balance because it was always a Divine Shield thing. It was either Divine Shields were too good or Divine Shields were too weak. And they would cycle back and forth every single balance patch on that.
Yeah. But that was after a bit. Like at the beginning, it was really bad. It was just like, remember Warlock was busted off the start.
At the start, the discard, the disco lock. That was always my favorite thing. Yeah. I don't know. We're hopping ahead here. We're kind of losing it a little. I want to make sure that we hit everything on your agenda. I absolutely love disco lock.
So speaking of like when you were saying like when you figured things out, when do we think felt duels figured things out? Like when do we think like duels finally came into the place where yes, this is perfect, or this is as close to perfect as I think it would be.
I think I disagree. I think it was awesome, and I think it was awesome for this. I think here's the thing. I think one thing we've been kind of talking about a little bit the whole time is it's the most it's not just the most original mode, it's the most complicated mode they ever made.
By far.
Like, not even close.
Yeah.
So it was never going to be balanced. It will never be balanced. Yep. There will always be nerfs and changes.
Yep.
And you're essentially just trading one thing for another when you more so like hyperbolic version of standard or wild. Like, just like you're going to print a card and the whole thing is going to fall apart. Like that, I totally get that. But I think off the bat, other than the paywall at the beginning, or not the paywall, the grind wall, like I think it just was a ton of fun. I think it hit its stride. I think it was at its best personally, kind of just before they did the Diablo and the dual class heroes, which you kind of asked about last time. And they had nerfed Warlock a bit, and there were just, it felt to me like you could kind of do some weird things, and it was like, oh, this is a sweet spot to be in, you know, like I can play whatever and I can win five or six games at least, you know, like, I don't know.
Yeah, it was I'll amend my statement. It was perfect the whole time for me. I loved it deeply and dearly. I just don't think there ever was a point where it got nailed for a wide audience. For me, I think the ideal spot was probably right before they made the switch to the buckets for based on expansions. I really liked it anytime they added new heroes and added more randomness and more wildness. I loved the dual class heroes. Elise was my favorite one. We'll get there eventually. I just wanted more and more and more all the time. I wanted it to be wacky and wild, and I did not want it to be a thing where they ever had to balance it. I kind of wish it was just like they never removed anything ever, and it was just totally random what you got every time, and it was just totally, you know, silly and funny. But
I think that would have been a little more fun if you didn't get to pick from four heroes. That's interesting that you say that. That could have been really fun.
Yeah.
Maybe we needed duels and we needed wild duels.
But I think this would probably be the point to talk about it, is like when they stopped actively really applying big balance changes to duels is when the game mode died.
It was obvious. It was immediately.
Because you're just playing the same game standard over and over. Like, imagine if they didn't change standard for a year and a half. You'd be like, of course, it's not as fun. Like,
well, that was the first 2 years of Hearthstone.
And then the like high-end enthusiast community. So like, you know, my brain works a little different than most people's. I think everyone on that's into Hearthstone's brain works a little different than most people's, but mine is even more so. And I think most of the people that I interacted with in the duels community were even more so. And I think that that's like, it was really special. That was my favorite part of this whole thing, honestly, is this like really enthusiastic, very quirky, unique group of people that we would hang out with and chat about these things. But like, there's only a handful of us and you can't monetize it that much. And like the thing that we want out of it requires a lot of work. And so, yeah, I would go crazy for wild duels. I advocated several times if they had trained enough, maybe this will come back at some point in time, but maybe duels that's even crazier, no balance changes required. And you're always playing against an AI and you don't get like the reward or something like that. That would be totally cool. I would love that. But you know,
well, that was solo mode, right?
Happens in the future.
That was
solo mode, but solo mode with generative AI on it.
Honestly. Fair enough.
Yeah.
So, we talked about like kind of like the kind of like when duels was good and when it was bad. One of the big moments I always thought was when Matt London kind of took over modes and he kind of put his imprint on, and he was starting to listen to people and implement things. I know Joel, you said you didn't really know much about this, but Chalker, why don't you speak a little bit about that?
Yeah, I mean, well, I don't know. I think Atesh right before the structure of Team 5 has really been, I don't work there. I don't know. They're a multinational corporation. I mean, now they're owned by Microsoft. It like a lot of decisions are made based off of ridiculous things. So I wasn't in the rooms where these people were making these decisions, but I do know that they like, it was a small team and it was really cool because they, before Twitter went to hell, would be on there and they would interact with us and they would answer our questions. And like, they knew who the people that were really into it were, and they would take our feedback and we could like message them and say, hey, you know, this is like an actual problematic deck. Like, we got to hit pause on it. There were a couple of times where that happened where like they clearly missed one interaction and like, it was going to break the whole mode, and they, 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 they would do that, would issue a hotfix. And like, that was a really cool, nice open communication thing. So I can't really speak to.
I definitely had like a Tesh respond to more than one of my Twitter posts.
Yeah.
And it was like, this is awesome.
Yeah.
But you also can't expect that of every dev.
No, you
have
can't.
To have tough skin to put yourself out there.
I know. And yeah. I'm getting credit where credit's due is, and so, and Matt did the same thing when he followed up, but Matt was not specifically just Duels. He was over all of Moe's. And there's another person who I don't actually want to name on the podcast, cause I'm pretty sure they don't want to be in a public light that was working underneath Matt. That was in charge of Duels and a few other things.
Cool.
So the point is though that it was a small team and they were really nice and they were really cool to reach out with. And I'm not breaking any news here. I know both of them were laid off in the recent Microsoft layoffs. They had both moved on to the adventure game that was canceled. And I have no expectation that either one of them will ever.
Yeah, Tesh was. That sucks.
Yeah, I have no expectation that they would either ever hear this. But if they do, I feel sorry, and I do appreciate every time I interacted with them.
Well, wasn't there like a joke that like some guy Jeff was like doing everything?
It was Brad.
Like, in Duels was Brad. Brad. It was Brad. Yeah. I knew it was a white guy name. Got Brad. There.
But so
yeah,
that's fun.
So and actually we're trying to get Matt to come on the show at some point, so hopefully that'll happen.
Knock okay, well tell him if you if tell him if you hear pass on the kind words, I guess.
Absolutely. Hopefully he I'm sure he listens, because the thousands and thousands of people that listen to Bread and Butter, I'm sure he's one of them. So hey, what was that laugh about? So what do we think about the Diablo event? Like, that was kind of very controversial. A lot of people seem to hate that event. When they first introduced Diablo, how was it?
I thought it was cool. I mean, it was ridiculous because there was like one OP build that everyone was running, and it was like you had to do that to get high wins, and if you didn't, you lost. But I thought it was fun because it was new and different, and that's what I liked about Duels. Anytime there was something they could try that was cool and fun, I was in it every single time.
I initially hated it. Like, I hated it so much. But you know what? Like, a lot of that came from, like, one of my least favorite things they ever did in Hearthstone is add Demon Hunter to the game. Like, that expansion drop and what happened with that class. And just, like, you know, you can taste the monetization. Like, it's like, we can't have this new class be a flop. And it just ruined the game for a month.
Yeah.
And it's like, and so Diablo was so close in time to that sure. I was just, it was like a year or something later, or 6 months. I can't remember.
It was that same.
I just remember being like, oh God, this is just like DH again. Like, and when you say it like that, it's like by the time it kind of came back and they were doing it again, cause they did it twice. Yep. Right. Brought it back. I really enjoyed the arch enemy version of it where it's like, oh, it's all of us against Diablo kind of like, you know, we gotta finish Diablo, everybody.
Yeah.
Or in BGs, it was like that. Yeah, and BGs, in Duels, it kind of felt the same though, where it was like, oh, I'm up against the big bad. But the first implementation of it was like, I just remember just being kind of like, ugh,
well,
like, can we just do our thing over here without like this super OP thing like coming in?
Well, but in the first implementation, they also still had things that you had to unlock, right? Like, you had to play so many games in order to get the second or third hero.
Like, I never got to the last one. It was literally because like I play a lot, right? Exactly, and that was the problem. Is like, I think that there was just a weird math going on that they were testing out the audience. Whatever. Anyways, yeah, I liked it. I had fun with it.
All right, so you had fun with Diablo, you didn't initially, whatever. What was your favorite hero to play, and what pulled you into that hero? Joel, why don't you start?
Oh, okay. Well, I have two.
Okay.
And I played a lot.
Oh,
and
you
I
only
actually
have one.
Find there's
only
something
one.
Funny.
Just kidding.
A chocker about you. Okay. Well, I like taking mini game actions. I love turning 1,000 knobs to make things happen. Like that's what I loved about that quest shaman deck ages ago. I like doing like where it's like to do the powerful thing, I have to do 17 things and they all have to be in the right order. Like, that's my favorite kind of Hearthstone.
Yeah.
Like, so for me, Discover is just always one of my favorite mechanics. And Mizaki, like, like, I take Mizaki all the time. But I couldn't just say Mizaki, like, because I also have to say Liliana, because I am a sucker for OG quest rogue builds. Wow. So, like, play four one drops and make five fives.
That was true. Ooh,
and in duels, it was really bad. And it was so much fun to try and make it happen until it wasn't.
Yeah, there,
it was
there
bad
were,
until it wasn't.
There were flashes. There were two and or three flashes. Like, yeah.
Yeah, there. It was really bad. And I was like, oh, I love this deck. And then they released a set. It became like unreal or the, just the mixture of sets. And then I was like, oh, this is amazing. And then they nerfed it, which they had to, which was good. So but like, those were probably my two favorite. Yeah. Like, for sure.
So I love like Shadow Ping Priest because it was a totally different way of playing it than in standard, and I'll always pour one out for my Quest Death Rattle Elise deck where you would come back a million times and that would just last forever. You
as well. Oh, that's cool. I Elise the spell. Slinging Elise deck was one of my all-time favorites until everyone realized how powerful it was, and then I just the games would take forever because every turn was 90 seconds. So even though it was like my favorite deck to play, I completely stopped playing it because it was just like it's discover a million cards and try and get. But it was like I didn't like that.
That's another one that they would like, it would come and go because they would nerf the hero power on that. That's the thing. There were so many dials to push. They could really absolutely bury a deck if they wanted to. Because everything was like it was multiples, right? It was, you know, death rattles trigger twice or target a minion and its neighbors. So it was like either make a spell two times as powerful or three times as powerful or whatever. And if it just dials back down to one, that deck is totally dead and gone from the meta.
There was that one summer Brad where like they were doing that on the regular. I remember it would be like, oh man, like we got another knob switch. Oh, sweet.
Every like it 3 weeks. Exciting. It was cool. Yeah. Like that was probably the best time when for me. 2022, I think.
All right. So Chucker, is there a particular run that was like so wacky or crazy that you just loved? What was your favorite duels run of all time that you can remember?
So I mean, you know, I don't know if I could specifically remember my favorite one, but I remember my favorite like moment very early in our podcast history for very early in the run when we had just sort of figured out that you could proc these passives. We had just discovered this Chinese forum. I think it was called Potion of Sparking. And it was whenever you target a minion with a spell, target its neighbors too. So rather than doing like double battle cry, you would get every spell to three times, and you just ended up with these boards as priest with like, you know, 90 attack on the board, like, and you would just run over people because you would just multiply stuff out, and it was so cool because you would do like a quality.
You do the wombo combo where you like build up their.
Yeah, you'd put like you know whatever a couple of those 0-4s of the freshman or the 0-2 guy. I don't know. You double their butts up a bunch, and then you'd hit them up. Like it was wild.
Inner
it was
fire.
Inner fire.
Divine spirit.
It's the classic fire, Hearthstone combo, but like.
On Nitro.
Yeah. So that was really fun. That lasted like 2.5 weeks, though. They were like, can't do that one anymore.
And then they spray you with the spray bottle, right? Like, no. Stop. Spray it with those.
Exactly.
All right, Joel, how about yourself? Is there a particular build or a run that you remember fondly of being super crazy?
Like, the build that I definitely... I don't know if this was ever good, but... There was a sweet spot where I stopped playing standard when DH was out, and I would play Mizaki Mage, but it was my own build, and it was Open the Waygate Mage, and no one else was playing it. But maybe it wasn't DH because it was when they did Scholomance. They had one of the treasures you could start with was a creature where you got a copy of the spell you cast in your hand. It's a spell burst, right? Like you cast the spell and you got a copy of it. So I essentially over months, like balanced this deck out enough to the point where I wouldn't go 0-3 with it every time. And it was like Open the Waygate, take infinite turns. And it was like, okay, I'm going to play the thing and then I'm going to get copies of it. And then I'm going to, I never saw a build of it online anywhere on any of the websites. Maybe eventually it got there, but when I stopped playing a bit, but like, and I had it and I would get routinely 3 to 5 wins, which wasn't as good as normally I get more than that. But with this deck, I felt really good about it. And then I, like, twice I got above 10 wins, but I never hit 12 with it. And I, like, the both times I was above 10 wins, I was, like, crushed, like, just crushed. Cause it was like, I'm trying to go off meta. Like, I can do this. Right. And it's like, no, my deck's getting too big. Like,
what you needed to do was like, translate it. You needed to translate it into Japanese or Chinese. Put it on one of those forum sites. Let someone else tweak it.
They'll figure it out.
They'll optimize it.
But I was pretty certain. Like, I think this is the best build. Like, I've done. It's probably the only time where I iterated on a deck over at least like 40 or 50 runs. Like, I must have done it over months. Like, every time a Mizaki was offered, I'm like, we're gonna get 12 wins with this build. Yeah. And I had folders on my computer with like the up to date build I had. Like, and I'm like, okay, what's new right now? What do I need to move? And like, I never did it though. But I was so close.
I think the biggest tragedy here is that that Chakra never had Enthralamon on Oops All Duels.
You know, you're right. Yeah, that's absolutely. We would have gladly had you on. They bring it back. Well, you'll be our first guest.
I'm sure I listened to at least one or two episodes. Like, as soon as I heard the name, I was like, yeah. But
well, Dan was on an episode, right?
Yeah. So wasn't much Dan podcast on an episode? Time.
No.
Oh no! It was just a guy. Just a guy was on an episode.
Just a guy was, Hat That's was cool. on, Atesh was on. We had a handful of guests. Yeah.
That's cool that you had Atesh on. I'm sad that you don't have them on. I would totally go listen to them on Atesh. I've never heard him speak.
Oh, you can find him.
I always had so much respect for him on the team. He was one of my favorite public-facing members of the team.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
All right, so a couple more questions here because we got to wrap up. I know, Joel, you can't be here that much longer. Do we feel like Blizzard is doing the right thing? I know we love the mode. But do we feel like Blizzard is doing the right thing by end of lifing it? Chalker.
You're walking into like a steakhouse with a bunch of steak enthusiasts and being like, so should we shut down the steakhouse?
I mean, like, they're doing the right thing for their bottom line, you know? Yeah. I cannot put emotion on a literal business science calculation. I'm disappointed. I like it, but doing the right thing for them, I'm sure.
That's true. Yeah.
I honestly, for them, I think it makes sense. I think like, I definitely think the way they launched the mode made it tough. I think it's one of those, like, I don't know. It kind of reminds me of Dungeons and Dragons. Like, you're hanging out with people who are kind of like, I don't know, Dungeons and Dragons sounds kind of nerdy. What do you, like, dress up and make voices? And you're like, not really, man. Like, you should come try it. It's like, I found Duels was kind of like that, where when people started trying Duels, most of the people I know really enjoyed it. There was some weird, I don't know why it didn't pick up more. Regis really helped it. Like, I remember when Regis started playing it.
Yeah.
And people were like, oh man, like, this is good. It was like, oh, thank you. We got one big streamer who like started playing it. Thank you, Regis. Like, but like,
I can't.
Of course they're making the right decision for them, but it sucks. I'm upset. And frankly, I'm actually a little frustrated that a lot of the Twitter response was like, oh, we get it. I was like, really? Like, we get upset about like the tiniest little thing in Hearthstone, and they're ruining the best mode that ever existed, and no one's like, this sucks.
Yeah.
I'm like, this is the one time I want everyone to be mad.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I mean, I feel like my co-host for Oops All Duels, Croquette, are the people that would probably be the most upset and offended, because we're the ones that were the most confused. We had the most, I mean, I spent money on trying to promote the mode, right? But like, why hold on to anger about something that, like, I got no control over it, right? I've been having fun outside of it, right? I enjoyed it. It was fun while it lasted. I liked the friends we made while we were there, but like, I can't cast blame on anyone. Like, I there was some weird streamers stuff that was going on early on in Duels, unfortunately. And I'm glad that Regis picked it up. I know that a couple other people picked it up later on. I don't think that it would be fair for Blizzard to say that the streamers are the ones that make or break a mode. That's putting their personal business decisions on people that aren't employed by them, quite frankly, that they are out of their control.
And that's fair. And I'm sad that you're unable to continue. But the one silver lining is A suboptimal choice you made by making a podcast about Hearthstone has been taken away, so now you can only make optimal choices.
There we go. Thank you. Thank you.
All right. So just to wrap this up, it's time to say goodbye. We have about a week and a half left, maybe. If I'm right.
I should do a run. I'm doing arena runs. I should really do a duels run. It's just been a minute. Yeah.
All right. But so Chalker, now's your time. Say goodbye.
Thanks for the memories. It was a good time. It really did get me through like a lot of early COVID and having a infant throughout that, you know, is a thing that I did on my phone while watching Regis, watching his streams while changing diapers and stuff. So I had a good time, but you know, I said goodbye a while ago. I played my last duels run in 2023. So I've moved on, and I hope that everyone else has a good a journey in moving themselves on at the pace that they need as well.
So you're not going to play one last run in the next, or one or two in the next couple weeks?
No, I'm not going to.
All right, Joel, how about yourself? Say goodbye to duels.
Yeah, duels. You were the most extreme mode. I'm going to miss your fluorescent pink shorts and your cool bright fluorescent green ski slope sunglasses.
There's a term for that style. Think, it's
is there?
Yeah,
what is it?
Wacky pomo.
Okay, wacky duels. So on Squelch, we specifically refer to duels as D-U-L-E-Z duels. We felt it's the extreme '90s Mountain Dew supported sport of Hearthstone. No, I think for me, the hardest part of saying goodbye to duels is like saying goodbye to that weird, funky experiment they did that was so out there. I feel like, I don't know, like we were saying, like, I think a lot of more decisions are going to come down are going to make a lot more business sense. And all I ever want in Hearthstone more than anything is a sandbox mode, somewhere we do whatever we want. Yeah. And duels felt the closest to a sandbox.
Absolutely.
Mode. So 100%. I'm a little sad that I feel like, even if on a design perspective, the platform, the game, the UI is getting cleaner and more streamlined, I'm going to miss all the knobs. I like turning knobs and duels. I had a million knobs to turn, so I'm going to miss it.
Yeah.
Flicking switches. Yeah. Goodbye, duels. You were a lot of fun. And for me too, like during COVID, like, you know, there were people I was playing with who helped me get through, and duels was a big part of that too, especially when standard sucked, when we're at home with COVID and quarantine, and I'm like, and all my friends who like playing Hearthstone, they're like, Demon Hunter has ruined the game, and I'm like, well, you just come play duels, man. Come on. Yeah. Anyway.
So the way I'm hearing it is duels was that person you dated sophomore year of college, just trying to get yourself out of your comfort zone. It was a lot of fun, but you know, it's not where you ended up.
Yeah,
sure. No, I don't know. Are you kidding me? I would have married duels. What are you talking about?
I would have married duels if there was a little more support or something.
All right. Well,
yeah,
that was a lot. There's always room for dessert, though. So, this is a new segment we've added since you've been on, Chalker, and Enthralamon. You've never been here for this. So, why don't we start with you, Chalker? What is a dessert? What is your favorite dessert?
You know, I had an incredible boba yesterday. I've lost a lot of my sweet tooth as I've gotten older. I ate like candy and stuff, but I had this beautiful, beautiful boba with a cheese foam on top of it yesterday. Oh, man. Go for it if you have a chance.
Cheese foam.
Yeah.
No. Interesting. Joel, you only take things in cheese curds, right?
Yeah.
How about yourself? What is your favorite dessert?
Strawberry milkshake. I don't know. Like, there's a million things out there. I don't have a huge sweet tooth either. But, like, you know what? I say strawberry milkshake. We've been driving around trying to find real milkshakes the last few years. They don't exist really anymore. They're very hard to find. Yeah. Like, just a regular old milkshake.
But dairy.
Sorry?
Dairy. Dairy's fallen off of popularity. Yeah. It's
yeah.
That's worth.
Yeah.
You can make them at home, you know.
So, there's a lot of like strawberry ices and things, but like or strawberry milkshake flavor or anything. I don't know. I even like the cheapy candies, the little like marshmallow things that taste like strawberries. Strawberry, fake strawberry flavor is fine, but not as good as a real old milkshake. That's the business.
Fair enough. You can make them at home, though. I can give you the recipe. It's like ice cream and milk.
Yeah. I should.
Viewers, appreciate you being here. If you're a duels fanatic and you're quitting Hearthstone, I'm sorry to hear it. It's still a fun game. Hope you enjoy it. Hope you leave us a review. We love you. Just the fact that you're listening to my voice right now after an hour and 29 minutes and you're still here week after week, we love you here. Hopefully you love us just a little bit. Leave us that 5-star review. Help other people find the podcast. It's great. Joel, where can people find you on social media?
Oh, man, I'm not on social media much anymore, but I go on Twitter once every couple of weeks on my PC. I'm at Enthralamond1. I don't post very much. Yes, Dan's not here to make fun of me. I forgot I made a Twitter account like 3 years earlier and thought someone else had taken my name. Yeah, it's embarrassing. I'm at Enthralamond1. But also like Squelch Discord, or I just joined Bread and Butter Discord, so I'm here too. That's me.
You know, you can request it, like you try to log in as Enthralamon, request a password and see what email it goes to.
Yeah. No, I know I can get my old account. I've done everything on my second account. So I was like dreading saying this with Dan here. I'm glad he's he thinks it's the funniest thing ever that I stole my own username. I don't know.
And Chuck, yeah, I know you're off the X. Where can people find you?
You can't. I mean, you can find me on YouTube, but I haven't uploaded in a while. It's been pretty busy in a personal life, honestly. So maybe I'll be back at some point. I was making some trophies for some Hearthstone and Snap people in the past year. Maybe I'll get back to that eventually. But we'll see.
That's cool.
Yeah. But that's a ways down the pike. I'm taking a healthy break from CCGs, honestly.
Maybe you can reach out to Blizzard and ask them if they want you to supply the trophies, because I know they're trying to cut their budget.
That's not what I want. I don't want to be the budget-cutting guy. I want to be the budget-upping guy.
all right, and you can find me at Tito Santana HS on Twitter and Twitch. Joel, you getting shout-outs this week?
Yeah, I'm going to shout-out to Lucky and Nomad Farmer and Schwal. And anyone else who stayed up for those late night co-op duels runs, because like that's who I got to shout out here. Too much fun. And those people really specifically helped me get through those quarantine months. So I appreciate y'all. Thank you very much.
Chalker?
Yeah, I recognize those names. I see Nomad Farmer. I remember back in the day on the Twitter thread. It was really anyone that was in that Twitter group, anyone that you know, is part of the super duels enthusiasts, you know, Crocat, my podcast host, co-host, and you know, Lulu, and a handful of others that were really, really into it and into it for the fun, wacky stuff, not just for sharpening knives and trying to, you know, farm 12 wins. So I really appreciate it.
Sharpening knives and attaching them to monster trucks.
Yeah, that was a thing. That was absolutely a thing. There were a handful of people that like, that's all they wanted to do. And that was my.
And I'm going to shout out Dan. I'm sorry he had to leave. I hope his son is feeling better. Never fun when your kid gets sick. And I think we all know that firsthand when it's just like, oh, got to go. I want to shout out Ron Mexico, who was not only did he beat me 0-3, he came into my stream afterwards and we broke down the games. We looked at the replays and we talked about where he was, where I was, the mistakes I made, the apps. Optimal draws he had, and it was just, you know, it's good to, you know, when you lose a game, if you can't have a little humble pie and review and understand where you made the mistakes, you're never going to get better. So this is the second time I've had a series against Ron, and we've gone back and reviewed the games, and he is just a class human being. And hope you guys all follow him on Twitch and watch him, because he's just very educational. Anyway, guys, I think that's it. I think we're toast. We'll see you.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thanks for having me. Yeah.
And this is where I was going to play Boys to Men. It's so hard to say goodbye, but apparently I can't even play 10 seconds of that without violating copyright law. So I didn't want to risk that for my millions and millions of listeners. So, here we go.
Slide two brothers meet one another when they slide up to the mic. It's bread and butter with one another. Let's start up that recording light.